Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so glad you've tuned in. As always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the state and really throughout the country to come learn with us. It is really very important that we have a conversation where everybody gets on the same page. We're so grateful for David Barton and all the work that he does, and he's usually the first thing you hear on our show. But today, we just want to get the point across that, you know, freedom isn't free. But really, you don't know that you're losing your freedom unless you know where you've come from. And so we're so grateful to have our historian, former teacher, Mrs. Barbara Moore, with us to give us bits of, I call it nuggets of history, very important facts. And Ms. Barbara, how are you?
Well, I'm fine. Thank you, Diana. And I appreciate you starting the show the way you do and talking about how important it is to know where our freedom comes from, and then how are we going to protect it. And that's what's missing in so much of education today, is to recognize and learn that our freedom comes from God, and that He reveals to us in His Word the principles of freedom. You know, man has a sin nature. We're born with it, and the only way that that sin nature can be dealt with, a decisive blow against that sin nature, is when we acknowledge that we are sinners and we are in need of a Savior. God provided the Savior, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and it is only in Him, when we give it all to Him, give Him ourselves, we receive His life, and then we're able to live the way God wants us to, and we're able to learn from God Himself in His Word and by the Holy Spirit, so that we can know and understand the principles of freedom. And our founding fathers lived that, and those who came after them for generations knew it, they learned it, they knew it, they lived it. And so we have still been given such a great legacy of freedom in our country, you know, but we are now losing it, Diana. We're losing it because we do not know and acknowledge the one giver of freedom, God Himself, through His Son, Jesus Christ.
Indeed, Ms. Barbara. And with that in mind, we want to start off the conversation with the same thing that the founders did. You know, and I'm just reminded of that speech by Benjamin Franklin at the Constitutional Convention. So we would like for you, the listeners, who really care about your children, your families, the future of this nation, let's invite God in this conversation so that we can hear the words that He wants said. With that in mind, Ms. Bob, would you mind leading us off in prayer?
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you, Diana. Let's pray together. Our dear Heavenly Father, most gracious and generous, Heavenly Father, we come before You, O God, in the name of Jesus, the name above all names, the name every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow at the name of Jesus, in heaven, on earth, and below. We thank You, Father, that that in You, Lord, we have the use of that precious and powerful name of Jesus. So, Father, it's with great confidence that we come before You, and we're grateful that we're able to come before Your throne of mercy and grace and love and compassion and forgiveness, Lord. And, Father, that we can bring others to You, Lord, that when we pray, Father, we make those connections, Lord, for others. So we lift up to You, O Lord, our fellow countrymen, our fellow citizens in this United States of America. We lift them up to you, O Lord. And we pray, Father, that there will be a great revival among your people and a great awakening, O God, among the citizenry of the United States of America. Father, we recognize that it is only in you that we know what to do, when to do it, that we're able to, as the sons of Issachar, that we will have an understanding of the times we live in and how best to make decisions in these times, policies that our country needs to make, Father, that's in keeping with your truth and your word. We pray, Father, for your Holy Spirit to overshadow us all, Father, just to infuse us all, encompass us round about, Lord, that we will and we will respond to you, O God, in this very crucial hour. We recognize, Lord, that is only our salvation. Salvation is in you. Your word says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God and that you are a strong tower, and we can run to you, O God, and be safe. I pray, Father, the knowledge of that will just permeate our country and that there will be a turning back to you, O Lord, for in you is our safety and our hope and our help. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our King. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Barbara. And yeah, Miss Barbara, we've been fighting this battle against the Common Core standards rather feverishly now. I think in the past couple of months, you know, because, the bill's been going to the legislature. And today I got reminded of something by our mighty God. Asked him for a word, you know, and he turned me to, I just love it when he speaks like this to us so very, very clearly and powerfully. Opened it to Mark chapter 11. And it's the basis of everything. Verse 22 through 26, he said, have faith in God, Jesus answered. Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Wow. And I said, I prayed this for all my Facebook friends. And Ms. Barbara, you know, what an encouraging word from God to have faith in him. And, you know, to be able to say to a mountain, go throw yourself into a sea and just not doubt in their heart. And, Miss Barbara, I want to say that about the Common Core standards.
Yes.
You know, go throw yourself into oblivion. And I'm not going to doubt it. I'm going to believe that God will allow that to happen. He says, believe that you have received it. And it will be yours. So when I hear that you have received it, isn't that wonderful that we have Almighty God, the God of heaven and earth and all that is here and there in the universe? He can give that to us, Ms. Barbara. He can give it to us. And it's not hard for him, just like moving a mountain. It's not hard for him. And when I'm reminded, I'm so glad today is Monday, and I'm so glad that we're doing this on history, because, Ms. Barbara, when we remember the mountain that the founding fathers had, and they had many mountains, and I remember the stories of Dorchester Heights and all those other mountains, Ms. Barbara, our fight is really small. And so that was just a reminder from God, you know, I need to believe. Believe in him. He's the one that's going to do it. I know we have to do our part, but believe in him. Because he said, ask him if it be thy will. And we know that he wants the children coming to him. And this is now such an enormous move to really steer the children away from God. And that is not God's plan. And as you've taught me in history, Ms. Barbara, we need to remember that. You know, why is this nation formed? And I remember the story of, you know, the parents that were in Holland that set out on a ship because they wanted to raise their children in a land such as this where there is religious freedom, something that is the very opposite of what we're being told today.
Well, that's right. And, you know, we do know that God wants the children protected, and we know that he puts parents in charge of children. We know that this Common Core curriculum, the first the initiative, the curriculum, the standards, and all of that is in conflict, direct conflict with God's values and his principles and what he wants for the children. So we know that when we take a stand on behalf of children who cannot do this for themselves, we know that we're standing on the side of right in God's sight. And he desires that. He looks throughout the whole earth for those who will stand in the gap for the children. He does. And so, you know, we're standing in a good place. And we're going to believe. You know, Diana, when we first started fighting Common Core, we would listen to our state school board member, Betty Peters, and she explained it to us. She was so concerned about it. And so, you know, I don't know of anyone else really that was talking about it other than Betty at that point, and we began to understand what was going on. But look what's happened since that time, a couple of years ago. You know, only in a few short years, there is a grassroots rising up of parents, grandparents, teachers, former teachers, principals, all sorts of educators at the elementary, secondary, college level who are in opposition to these to this transformation of American education into the image of Barack Obama and Bill Ayers, Linda Darling Hammond, Bill Gates, you know, the whole realm of radical activists that are trying to transform American education. And Diana, I posted something last night regarding this. And I had been thinking back in the 80s, there was a movement from the United Nations to pass the Convention on the Rights of the Child. And in this United Nations law, which many countries have adopted, it severs the relationship between parents and children, and it takes away parental authority, and it puts the government in charge, and then not only the United States government, but the United Nations government in charge of children. And guess what I found when I was just thinking back to the 80s. We haven't, although Madeleine Albright, under Bill Clinton, she signed it, but the Senate has not ratified this treaty. But they very well could if we don't get a change in the Senate coming up. It requires the federalization of education. Now, isn't that interesting that Barack Obama is bringing about the federalization of education at this time? And it looks to me like this would just fit right in. I mean, he would have this country prepared, ready to go for the United Nations, which requires the federalization of education so that it can be taken over by the United Nations very easily and very rapidly. I found that very interesting.
Well, I do too, Miss Barbara. It's like a convergence of everything that is really anti-freedom is all of a sudden being held up, even in the highest of our courts. And I think it's because we the people have forgotten our role, you know, in this government. We the people have forgotten the role of churches too. You know, it's like the churches have been tied. And I hate to say it, you know, I'm very worried about the pastors because to me, I look at the scripture, it's better to hang a millstone around your neck than really to lead these little ones into sin. And we are now seeing education and what is going to be before us is different from anything the founders intended. It's really the very opposite of what the founders intend. They want people to be educated so that they could compare the evil that is going to be, they knew was coming in law. Because like you said, you know, we're not angels. Men are not angels. but I just really think about the start of this nation, and I would just hope that the American people would remember your history. And I just think of that Constitutional Convention where Benjamin Franklin, you beautifully quote that many times, Miss Barbara, that, you know, he says that except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Now, this was in the forming of our nation, you know, it's a prayer. And asking God to be part of it is foundational. And now we are being told that, no, we need to leave God out of the picture, out of our government. Well, I think if they could have their way, they'd put God out of the churches too, Ms. Barbara, because they're going to tell our pastors what not to preach on. So I think never before in our history have we really been able to look at the mirror and see that who is the enemy? It's our silence.
Well, you know, we are literally under the gun. We are barraged by the forces of evil from every side. And they're powerful forces because over the years, they've gotten a foothold in every branch of government, in every institution that influences young people. You know, in our education system, you know what's happened with the colleges and universities and the radical liberalism that's being taught there. It's talking about the colleges now having sex week. They talked about the University of Tennessee participating in this just recently. I believe it started at Yale. And there's a book that's been written about sex, Yale, and God, and it documents what all has taken place there and bringing in pornography stars and to teach how to and so forth to college students as if this is normal, as if this is not an abomination to God. You know, the Bible says that fornicators, adulterers, liars, the unbelieving, it goes on and on about those who will not enter the kingdom of God. Heaven is real. Hell is real. And, you know, there it's laid out for us in the Word of God. And we have access to the knowledge of God through His Word. It's here for us. And if we will pick it up and read it, and God will reveal Himself and His truth to us in His Word. We've turned our backs on God. You know, there should this should not be happening. So much of what's going on in our country should not be happening if we, the body of Christ, would do what we're supposed to do. And we're supposed to stand for righteousness. And our lives are to be about our Father's business, our lives, our lives. We live unto Him. We are supposed to be dead to sin, dead to the world and all the fleshly ambitions, and alive to Jesus Christ, setting our sights on those things that are heavenly, not the things below. And, you know, if we, God's people, would get back into the role that He called us to be in and the people that He called us to be, letting Him live in us and affect and influence the world. Well, you know, Ben Franklin said it. He didn't say it at the Constitutional Convention, but he said it nonetheless. He said, the country that will introduce biblical primitive Christianity into the society will change the world. And that's exactly what happened with the Founding Fathers. They did that, and they changed the world. We became the wonder of the world. People would travel here from all over the country to find out why we were so successful, why we enjoyed such freedom, such opportunity, such prosperity, such a high rate of literacy, and on and on. The blessings were just overtaking us, and we became the wonder of the world. And so they would send people from all over to find out why. And they found that why, like the Tocqueville. He said he looked for the secret to America's greatness in many different places, and though there were wonders to behold, he said it was not until I went into the churches of America and the pulpits aflame with righteousness that I found the secret of America's greatness. We've got to find that again, Diana, to return to it.
Well, I just love, you know, what Edmund Burke wrote here. It says, what is liberty without wisdom and without virtue? It is the greatest of all possible evils, for it is folly, vice, and madness without restraint. Men are qualified for civil liberty in exact proportion to their disposition to put moral chains upon their own appetites. And I think that's what this nation's become, Ms. Barbara. It's, we have removed that chain. It's now everything goes. You know, we see that in MTV. And, you know, they've done it little by little with making things that are really not good seem funny, because laughing about it makes it seem like it's okay. And you see that with even children's television. You know, they laugh at children disrespecting adults. I saw that on Disney one day. It was just so horrified. A whole bunch of kids disrespecting adults. It's little things, you know. But really, it's big things. It's about what God says not to do. Honor your mother and father, you know. And obedience, you know, obedience matters to the Lord, because He says, you know, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter heaven, but he that does the will of the Father. But again, there's that appetite to do what you want to do. And that's really what's roaming to and fro across this nation. And now we've got this Common Core, where the people that have this mindset that is really anti-God, Ms. Barbara, has got the perfect tool of really training up the mind of a child, so that the child does not see anything, does not see absolutes. I think it's a weeding away, it's a breaking down of absolutes in a child's mind from little kindergartners on up, because we've heard about the crazy math. Why would you put crazy math? We know 2 + 2 = 4. You know, but I see that in context of, well, if you want to break down the narrow path, yeah, you really need to let these children think of every which way under the sun is going to go to 4.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, it's not as if we do not know what works. We do know what works. We do know that building a strong foundation and building upon that foundation upward, line upon line, precept upon precept, entering into more complicated concepts after the simpler foundation is laid, learning basic math back to the basics. We know that works. It's worked for thousands of years. And to depart from it with this common core crazy fuzzy math is on purpose. And they know that they're breaking down those barriers. They present all sorts of different approaches and different processes to children who should be learning 2 plus 2, you know, and basic addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. Yes.
I was thinking about, I've always thought, why don't we study the way that the founders taught their children? And yeah, you can put in, you know, newer spelling of words. You know, I know about the spelling, the S and the S's and stuff like that. But I'm thinking that type of teaching produced some of the greatest minds the world has ever seen. So the foundation of that teaching is excellent. As you've taught me in the past, you know, the federal papers were written for those days' farmers. Their way was certainly excellent.
Well, the people in charge of education at this time, in charge of public education, whether at the state level or national level or even local level in some respects, they've lost the understanding of who we are as a people, as a nation, who we are, and how we got to be this wonder of the world. They lack knowledge. It hasn't been taught for decades. And so now you have people, it's like St. Augustine said, what you do not know, you do not appreciate. And what you do not appreciate, you discard. Well, the knowledge of the founding fathers has not been taught and known for decades. It's not been appreciated. It's not known. It's not appreciated. And it is just totally been removed, except for places like Hillsdale College in Michigan. And they have not only the college there, which is, such a bright star, shining star in education. It is a liberal arts education, the humanities, what man, it's a recognition of God and how man was created, just such a treasure. Hillsdale College. Hillsdale also has elementary and secondary education. And then they're also beginning charter schools on a very limited basis, and it has to be a group of people that really are willing to put in place a replica of what they're doing at Hillsdale in Michigan. And Hillsdale was started as an abolition college, the abolition of slavery. Hillsdale was the place where they had, from the very beginning, it was a Free Will Baptist college at the beginning, and they had admittance of women and minorities. Frederick Douglass came and spoke there. They have a love of the truth and the impartation of the truth. And everyone has access to the online courses that are being taught by the professors there at Hillsdale College, including the president of the college, Larry Arn. And you can access those free online. Just type in Hillsdale College, and you can access the excellent, outstanding teaching there and learn right along with the students. It's a beautiful thing that they're doing for Americans to once again learn the principles of freedom. And it's a beautiful thing. So there are exceptions to the loss of the knowledge of the Founding Fathers, and Hillsdale is one of those glorious exceptions to that.
Wow. I remember ordering David Barton. Is it the primer? Is that the way they called it? Where you read the ABCs, and it's really, it sounded like, well, is it scriptures? It's been a long time since I've read it, Ms. Barbara. But
yeah,
it's not A, it's for Apple.
Well, in Adam's fall, we sinned all. A is for Adam. In Adam's fall, we sinned all. And so forth through the alphabet. And it was a catechism, you know, as well as that, you know.
And Ms. Barbara, I guess to the teacher of today, it would seem primitive. But, you know, I just think to myself, it is so worth studying the way they taught, because we are so different. We cannot even comprehend how a 13-year-old just like John Quincy Adams could be the secretary to the ambassador of Russia, if I remember right, and that they had to translate New Testament books of the Bible into Latin to Greek or something like that, or vice versa, in order to have their entrance exam. I mean, that was their entrance exam for college at such a young age, Ms. Barbara.
And it was the first five books, the first five chapters in the book of John that they were required to translate from Hebrew to Latin, or Latin to Hebrew, or, you know, that was part of the entrance exam. And many of them entered college at very young ages. Jonathan Edwards at age 13 entered Yale College. There were some even younger than that.
Well, Ms. Barbara, I almost feel like our children have been sold rather short of what they could be. You know, when you think about that, and now we're hearing in the news about they're no longer going to be teaching them cursive writing. So they're going to grow up not being able to read the letters of the Founding Fathers because, the Founding Fathers were great writers because to them that was like the form of communication. They didn't have a telephone. So they wrote, and they wrote in volumes. They wrote greatly. And our children are going to be losing that ability to read the history in the handwriting of the Founding Fathers. And I've always loved to be able to look in the Library of Congress, even online. And I remember researching and reading the handwriting of George Washington and others so that when people tell you, they thought certain way, all you have to do is really be able to read their handwriting of what they wrote themselves. But even that's going to be taken away.
Well, that's right. And not only will they not be able to read the handwriting, there's something that goes on in the brain with cursive writing, the connections that are made, and people who know cursive writing perform much better in many areas. The studies have been done regarding it, and so it is very foolhardy to eliminate cursive writing for a variety of reasons. There's just no excuse for doing it. But see that our children throughout the years of public education have been on in many different ways. And it's those experiments have always been to their detriment. As you said, the methodology used, and basically it was learning to read and reading to learn, a tremendous amount of reading but also a tremendous amount of writing. And, you know, a tremendous amount of learning. High expectations. You said we've sold our children short. You're exactly right. And one of the ways we've done that is by this philosophy of fun. Everything, if you're going to teach children, it's going to have to be fun. Well, you know, there's something better than fun, and that is satisfaction of a job well done. And children can be manipulated into thinking that life is all about having fun. They can do that. You can do that to a child, and you can sell them short, or you can teach and train them up in the ways of the Lord. And that includes teaching about the satisfaction that comes as we achieve something worthwhile. And there is a satisfaction in that that can be gained no other way. And that is a very important part of education in the past, the education that the Founding Fathers experienced.
Well, Ms. Barbara, I think it's time to take back for our children's sake and remember our history. And I love the fact that Wall Builders, you know, they've got all these sets of DVDs. And so we just really highly recommend wallbuilders.com. We love David Barton. You know, he loves the Lord, and it shows in everything he does. And what a great website he has, his catalog of books and media. And we just really, I think, need to be asking the churches to consider, you know, teaching that to their children in their Bible study groups, because they're not hearing that in school. And in essence, I think if you do not share with them where we came from, then the enemy's going to come like a flood and tell them, you know, those founding fathers, none of them were Christians. You really do not have a Christian foundation. You know, you need to respect everybody's rights. It doesn't matter that it's immoral rights. You know what I'm saying? We are losing our boundaries.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, when you take away a people's heritage, they are easily manipulated. And that was spoken by a man who wanted to manipulate a people. He wanted, and his name was Karl Marx, and he was wrong about everything else. But in this one aspect, he was right. Take away a people's heritage, and they are easily persuaded, easily manipulated. And so, you know, if we're ignorant, we can be abused, we can be manipulated, we can be used by others for their own purposes. And that's what you described is exactly what has happened. What has happened, you have generations now who do not understand our important Christian heritage and foundation. And as a result of that, they are easily manipulated. So we've got to get that knowledge back. And you said what you said about David Barton's DVDs, get them into the churches, shown in Sunday school classes. Community organizations can do it. You know, neighborhood get-togethers. We've also talked about Neil Mammon's book, Jesus Is Involved in Politics, and his follow-up workbook for its non-denominational, non-partisan 40 Days to a More Godly Nation can be done in any type of group. Where we get back to the knowledge that has been hidden from us now for so long, and an understanding of what we are to do. We are to be a mighty force on the face of this planet, and I believe that as the times have gotten darker, that God's light is going to be shown brighter, and I'm looking for that great awakening. I am looking for a great revival. Diana, Reinhard Bonnke is, to me, the greatest evangelist in the world today. He has preached to millions of people, millions of particularly on the continent of Africa, have come. Millions of Africans have come into the kingdom of God through his ministry, and he has just recently written a book about evangelism. And I heard Gordon Robertson talking on the 700 Club about it. He said he picked up the book that Reinhard Bonnke had written, and Gordon said, you know, I picked it up thinking I know all about the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, and so forth. He said, time after time, I just had to put the book down and just meditate on the great truth that I was seeing in this book. And he said he was just blown away with it and almost to the point where he felt like a babe, you know, starting out. So there are things that we can do. Kirk Cameron and Ray Comfort have a website, livingwaters.com. You can order tracts and place them everywhere that you go in your world. They have an evangelism course that you can purchase on CD or DVD, and where they take you through and you learn how to witness to the lost. And, you know, so we can do all sorts of things. You know, the knowledge of God through Christ, being born again of his Spirit, being translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and having the hunger and a thirst for righteousness and doing God's will on the earth. This is the beginning. This is the beginning of our walk. And then we're to bring God's truth to bear in every area of life. Jesus Christ is Lord, and he is Lord over all. And so we have a job to do, and God wants to equip us to do it. And there's just, he's just looking for a people to raise up for this hour. Don't you think, Diana?
Oh, yes, Miss Barbara, and I'm excited. I'm hoping that's what the word was today. and to believe that we can move this mountain. And it is, Common Core is a mountain. But with God, my goodness, everything is possible. And it is really a little thing for him. But he's looking to and fro, I think, for people to stand in the gap, Miss Barbara. And we have this flyer on our website if anybody would care to get it. www.cityonahill.tv. It's called Common Core Flyer for Alabama, which really you can cut and paste it into a paint program on your computer and just take out the word Alabama or change things. But I like the fact that it's got in there Liberty Council supporting or opposing legislation, what churches can do. Use the church facilities by lobbying groups to discuss social issues, rent a lone church mailing list to lobbying groups, preach sermons on social issues, political issues, petition drive supporting or opposing legislation, or citizen initiative, support or oppose legislation unrelated to the church, support or oppose legislation that directly relates to the organization, encourage people to vote for or against legislation or citizen initiative, lobby candidates to support or oppose legislation or citizen initiatives, and the last one, distribute petition papers supporting or opposing legislation or citizen initiative. So make a copy of this, download it, you know, fix it up for your church, for your state, because, Ms. Barbara, it's going to take all of us, and I'm so excited about the voices I'm hearing across the country. And that's why I think these legislators in their own particular state they better get on the right side of Common Core, because they're going to be hit with a flood. Because, Ms. Barbara, as we were saying earlier, you know, there was hardly anybody talking about it, but they're now starting to talk about it. And, Ms. Barbara, I don't know of anybody that is lukewarm.
No, I don't either.
I mean, when they get it, they got it, you know. Oh, my goodness.
That's the truth. And when they find out what's going on, they get fighting mad. You know, it's really, you know, it's so bad. It's criminal what Common Core is all about, and what it will do to our children and their future, the future of this country, will be greatly affected in a really adverse way. So, you know, people are waking up. And the legislators that we are talking to, trying to get them to defund Common Core and repeal Common Core, they're, as you said, they better get on with it, because this is just the beginning. If they'll do what's right and do it quickly. When you see you've been on the wrong road, you get off. You're better off if you, the quicker you get off of that road and turn it around and do what's right. So,
and maybe they won't get swept. They won't be drowned by it, Ms. Barbara. If they'll do it right, they won't be swept under, you know, because I think that's what's going to happen. Because I saw an article where there was a subcommittee meeting, and they zoomed in on what somebody said, and I think there was a unanimous vote against repealing Common Core, because they saw what was being said as demagoguery. You know, the Bill Ayers connection was made, and thus, but what they don't realize is that's just a part of it. That's just a part of it. There is so much about Common Core that if they would do their homework, they will save themselves the trouble, because you really can't follow the thing. The stench of it is so bad in all sides, not just the Bill Ayers connection, the money connection, you know, with the latest that we're seeing, Huntsville, there might be, I mean, it sounds so bad when you hear $21 million 5-year contract by Pearson, and Pearson is involved in every side of this. And I'm thinking, Ms. Barbara, it's just, these legislators have got to do their homework, I think, for their own survival. Their political future is in danger with this one issue. It is a very important issue.
Well, you know, Diana, I accessed one of the websites, I believe it was Oklahoma, where some of the mothers out there put together some information, and they were talking about the data mining, the tracking of our children, and that aspect of Common Core. And one person said that, quoting from someone in the Obama administration, that Common Core is the glue. Common Core is the glue for the data mining and the tracking of children. Another said that that all this data is to be collected under Common Core, and there are over like 500 different points of information, which is an incredible amount. I mean, it has nothing to do with educating a child, okay? Data mining has nothing to do with that. This is citizen surveillance. This is going to go to the government. And they talked about how it would never be used outside the state that you're living in. That's, Superintendent of Education Tommy Bice talked about that here in Alabama. Well, in fact, it is set up to be interrelated to all the other states. That's the purpose, to be interrelated and interacting this data with all the other states, and then of course to the federal government, who is in charge of Common Core. So the data mining, the tracking of our children, and all the information that will be collected about each one and their families is criminal. Oh, it is actually criminal, Diana, because there is a federal law against a national data bank, which this will have.
Well, Ms. Barlow, I think you're right. I think the whole thing stinks. It's got all sorts of holes in it that really the media should be shooting. You know, it, there's wide gaps here that they can just really, you know, it's not going to be hard for them to get the truth out, but they're not trying. Most of our mainstream media, unfortunately, there are a lot of young people there that really they're just trying to do an 8-to-5 job or 8-to-9 whatever, and they don't have the time to really dig. I hate to say it, but they need to dig because this is going to involve them too. But, Ms. Barbara, what we were talking about yesterday that is really, it's not laughable, it is really sickening, is that these are the educators who know all about testing. They live their life probably thinking about tests all the time. And, you know, as we saw in the state of Georgia, 178 principals and teachers were caught cheating to pop up the test results. So we know they know all about testing something, Ms. Barbara. That's like the back of their hand, isn't it? Test. But you would have thought that the least thing they would have done to these Common Core standards before they passed it and all across the country, all across the states and their schools, would have been to pilot test it. Pilot test it somewhere. Well, does it take a neurosurgeon, a rocket scientist, Ms. Barbara, to figure that out?
And as you said, they're testing, they're teaching to the test. Their Common Core is filled with testing, and yet the standards were never tested anywhere before the state signed on to them. There was no empirical evidence from any place, any time, that Common Core had been tested and tried and succeeded anywhere. You know, the standards were written after the states had adopted them. They bought a pig in a poke, sight unseen, and there were no standards for the standards. Isn't that interesting? It would be laughable if it weren't so tragic.
That's it, Ms. Barbara. It is tragic. And for our legislators to think that we can ignore that 101 question, you know, I think they're going to be flooded before. I don't know how long it'll take for parents to get it, Ms. Barbara, but there's going to be a flood of parents, I think, wondering, where in the world did they get the audacity to pass these standards when they were never tested? And you, who would have the audacity to really make our children be the guinea pigs? And as we saw in Georgia and Kentucky, I guess they could really be feeling like guinea pigs because 30% proficiency exam dropped, 30% for Kentucky, 20% for Georgia. No wonder Georgia's trying to get out.
They're farther along in Common Core than the state of Alabama is. And we see that their test scores have dropped. Their proficiency in the subjects have dropped since starting Common Core. Whereas Alabama, our test scores were raised, our graduation rate increased, and that was before Common Core. Alabama was one of 14 states that were meeting the standards for No Child Left Behind. One out of 14, that's out of 50 states, and we were meeting the standards, the challenging standards for No Child Left Behind. And Alabama was really improving in education, doing quite well. We had the Reading Initiative that was on the spotlight. It was highlighted throughout the country. People were coming to Alabama to study our Reading Initiative that had caused such great gains to be made in reading in Alabama. And so other states could use what was begun in Alabama. So, you know, we changed all that and went with the federalization of education, like the Obama administration can do better than what we were doing ourselves, plus losing control of education statewide and local, losing local control, state control, and everything under the federal government. You know, it's beyond what our minds can grasp.
Well, Diana,
we're about to the end of the show, and and before we end, I surely do want you to close us in prayer and any closing comments?
Well, Miss Barbara, it's good to remember the founding fathers and where they came from, and we don't have time for you to tell it, but I love the story of Dorchester Heights and the chandelier. We'll have to share that another day this week, just to remind our listeners, Miss Barbara, you know, again, where we have come from, what seemed impossible to men is, of course, possible with God, and that's why we're here in these great United States of America. We are really that impossible dream, aren't we, Miss Barbara? We are living
it. We are. This is the place on the face of the earth where you could come, you could dream your dreams and work as hard as your dream is big, and it would come true. This is the place, the United States of America. What a heritage we've been given. And we can continue to live that dream. We can live that impossible dream if we will return to the principles that made it all possible.
Oh, indeed, Ms. Barbara. And again, you know, it's all about God. He is the one that helps lift us up and helps us to be better than we are, you know, otherwise, because life without him is really not life worth living. And Ms. Barbara, I'm thinking of, I don't know why, but I just think of the, you know, you can give the pearls to swine. And what will the swines do with those pearls? And I'd hate for our country to be like that again, where we hold of no value the things that really God gave us. Because we will be like those pigs, you know, with the pearls, the freedom that everybody in the world wants. Oh, my goodness, we certainly do not want that for our children, Ms. Barbara. So we're going to ask God for help.
That's right. We better turn off the TVs. We better do like Dr. Ben Carson's mother did with him. He would not be the man he is and have accomplished all the great achievements had his mother not turned off that TV and made her children begin to read. Just turn off the TV and begin reading again. And we can learn. We can learn. And we can achieve.
Thank you, Ms. Barbara. Well, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you that you are God. Lord, we just thank you that you hear our prayers, our pleas. Lord, what is man that, Lord, you love us so much that you gave your Son to die on the cross for us and our sins, so we can live with you in eternity, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you as we celebrate this week, Lord. Prepare our hearts. Prepare this nation, Lord. Help us to remember your goodness, Lord. Help us to remember your ways. Help us to teach them to the children, Lord, so that they too will have a future. And Lord, we pray for those that are lost, Lord, that just really do not understand. Lord, sometimes they think that, Lord, you are here to just cut short their joy, Lord, their life abundance. And little do they realize that you do the very opposite. You are the giver of life abundant, Lord. So, Heavenly Father, I pray that all those that are listening that may not know you as Lord and Savior, Lord, that they will come to know you, that they will come to experience, Lord, your magnificent love, that you did not even withhold your Son to die on the cross because you loved us so much, Lord, and that you want us eternity in heaven with you, Lord. And Heavenly Father, we just are so humbled by your greatness, by your goodness, by your mercy. And we just thank you. Because, Lord, with us it is impossible. With you, all things are possible. So we pray, Lord, against common core standards, Lord, that will seek to mislead the children, Lord, and confuse their precious minds. We ask that the parents and the grandparents and all those that love children will stand in the gap, Lord, and let the truth ring out in the churches. Lord, we just thank you. Lord, we ask that you protect our military, Lord, those who give themselves, prepare themselves, Lord, to fight for us. And Lord, all the others, Lord, the law enforcement officers, Lord, and all those others in public service, Lord, trying to save others and serve us, keep us in the land of the free, home of the brave. Be with us, Lord. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Diana.
Well, Ms. Barbara, we thank you for being the historian that you are. And listeners, we ask that you come join us again and learn more about the awesome God that we serve. May God bless you. May God shine his face upon you. Thank you for listening to City on a Hill. Goodbye.